Much to cover this hour with Dr. Henry Nyman, Ph.D., one of the world's foremost virologists, back with us each night. We're covering this. We will continue covering it as we have been until and unless the time arrives when we don't need to anymore. January 8th was our first special program on this. We've been aware of it, though, and reporting it since the later stages of December. It is now, obviously, a major worldwide problem. Henry, welcome back. I want to say hello to you, then I'm going to play a little bit of the David and Sally Abel video, just a few minutes of it, to give people an idea of what's going on that ship. Welcome. How are you?
Not too bad. Getting a little tired.
Oh, man.
A lot of activity. So.
Yeah.
Actually, they had internet problems, so he didn't really get to do his report tonight. He just got back online, but I'll let you know what he said next time.
Okay. But, well, we got the one from earlier today, I guess, and I'll play a little bit of that. The bottom line on the Corona Princess, as I call it, and I think it's appropriate in this case, is that today, 55 doctors and 45 nurses, 100 healthcare professionals and workers boarded the ship. They're apparently going to stay there or try to stay there, and that suggests possibly that finally everyone's going to be tested. We don't know for sure. The ship left port today and went back out to sea to replenish its fresh water. It has to use some kind of a desalination system on board the vessel to do that, so it's back out at sea right now. All right, here is a little clip from Sally and David Abel, English couple, and I found out that David spent a lot of time around Stonehenge, the remarkable relics from ancient times. He's a pretty interesting man. They've developed a following now. They have over 15,000 followers on Facebook to watch and listen and participate with their broadcasts from the Corona Princess. So here we go. We'll play a little bit of this and give you an idea of what they are saying about life on board the ship.
Ship's officers. They don't. Oh, hello, everyone. How you doing? I am so sorry this is a late broadcast. It's not our fault. They promised, they gave a very, very precise time. 4:20, and you'll be connected. Well, the connection is still really slow. It's like the old-fashioned dial-up days, you know, where you have the modem thing. It's still very, very slow.
Again.
So, yeah, it could go off, and if we just disappear, understand what's happened.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Kate. How are you doing? Rose, Jackie Rafferty. I've heard that name.
Yes, she's your daughter, dear.
Oh, that's right, yes, yeah. Now, look, important news for you first. I'm going to read this, because this is from the British Embassy, based in Tokyo, and that's just down the road here, you know, but it covers this area quite seriously.
Alan Steele's watching.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Right, so this has been released this afternoon from the British Embassy. We now have additional pharmacists on board the ship. Not only that, 55 doctors and 45 nurses have been brought on. I mean, that is impressive. Goodness only knows where they're going to sleep. But they have been brought onto the ship. So, you know, it is being taken very, very seriously. And it was only maybe 45 minutes ago we had a call, or Sally had a call, from the medical centre. Do you want to say anything? This is serious.
Yeah.
It's true.
Coming through, asking if anybody in the cabin was ill, and
no, come on, be fair. They'd heard that he'd
been ill yesterday. So somebody had obviously seen when he talked about his problem with his lactose intolerance.
And glucose.
Anyway, I assured him that he was fine today.
So I would imagine, this has not been said, but I would imagine with all of these doctors and nurses that have been brought on, I would think they're going to be testing all the passengers. I would think so. Providing we're not tested positive, we will be released. It still sounds like a prison, doesn't it? We will be...
It is releasing.
We will be disembarked on the 19th. But there has been talk today again on the media, not confirmed by the captain, that the elderly and those with breathing problems...
We've gone off again.
No, we haven't. We're still on.
Oh, yeah.
The elderly and those with breathing problems will be released next Tuesday.
Okay, you get an idea. That's directly from the Corona Princess, which is now offshore of Yokohama, taking a little mini cruise to replenish its freshwater tanks. All right, Henry, tell us what it means.
Okay, well, I think he's correct with that number of medical people coming on board. I think there's a reasonable chance that they're going to test everybody. But since he's made that statement, there have been other comments that, it is a fiasco, and it gets worse by the...
Comments from whom, Henry?
Japan, saying that, well, you know, we don't really have that many kits to test. And, you know, if we tested 3,700 people, then that would greatly deplete our supply of test kits. And we really don't know how this virus is going to behave and how many people are going to need to be tested in the country. So it's a dilemma, is what they're saying.
So they're probably not going to test all of them.
And there's some speculation they're just going to do the passengers, they're not going to do the crew. It's really not clear exactly what's going on.
Same old story.
That shouldn't be a limitation. I mean, they can make these kits. They're not that hard to make. I mean, the supply actually is a little less than I anticipated. The CDC sent out kits, just a kit to each of the state labs and probably an equal number of other labs. I think they sent out 100 kits in the U.S. and they were going to have kits available for overseas
partners. A kit means, is that a one-time test on one person per kit?
No.
How many in a kit?
A kit will do 700 tests.
Okay, thank you.
But 700 is not a lot, you know, when things get going here. So that's what they sent out, and, you know, they've got more, so if you use up the one kit, they'll send a replacement kit, but it's kind of like they're kind of doling these out a little bit initially. And, like I say, I'm not 100% clear what the rate limiting step is on the kits, because the kits, shouldn't be that complicated and shouldn't be that hard to scale. And, so I don't know if that's just, an initial issue in the next few weeks or so, and then there'll be an overabundance of kits. But in any event, the fact that now they're talking about the kits being the problem with, the ship, I don't know. It just seems to me that, the most passengers on the ship are Japanese. They've got about half. And number two is the U.S. There's like over 400 U.S., or probably a little under 400 now because of how many have been positive taken off the ship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the U.S. is number two, and you would think that between the two of them, they could come up with enough kits to do 3,700 tests and find
absolutely,
out
I agree.
Exactly yeah. who's on there. And yeah. and the David and Sally have been on, you know, periodically. There were internet issues. They were actually supposed to do a report a few hours ago, and about 10 minutes into it, they lost their internet connection, and they literally just got back on 10 minutes ago or so.
Well, what was all this talk about? The captain told the passengers they have the absolute highest, fastest internet connection on any ship at sea.
Well, that's what he was saying. He was saying that that's what they said, and but don't send them any attachments because they can't open them. So today, I just heard tonight, they said that the internet connection got better and they can open attachments now. Mm-hmm. And but they literally went off the air about 2 hours ago. I mean, he was like 10 minutes into it. And then all of a sudden he was gone, and he literally just came on it looks like 20 minutes ago or so. So in any event, what you played, he was kind of referring to a lactose intolerance problem, and it's so reminiscent of the H1N1 that, he basically had diarrhea, and so he thinks it has to do with the food, and I think it has to do with the virus. And so he had that for the day before, and he said he felt a lot better yesterday, and he was coughing, and she was coughing, and then yesterday, they said, oh, see, we're not coughing as much, and it's getting better, although she was actually coughing more than she was the day before, and he was a little bit better. And they were relying upon the fact that they've got a normal temperature, so that's how they're monitoring. They've got a thermometer, and they have to call in their temperature every, I don't know, X amount of hours. And, you know, I think it's multiple times a day. And he was 37, which is 98.6, and he was 36.8 or something, and so our temperatures right. are good, so we're good. But that's not that reliable. You can have the infection without having a fever. And so I think they're both infected. And there are other reports of other people who were more severely infected, but nobody had come to take any samples. I'm pretty sure the results for today were there were 39 positives for the passengers and one positive for a quarantine officer, which is the guy who's basically talking to the passengers as they're coming off the ship, I guess, and taking down information or filling out a survey or something. And they wear masks, and they're not supposed to get infected, but one of them did. And they're kind of trying to figure out how that happened. I mean, it's conceivable that he got infected, away from the job. But in any event, there's a quarantine officer who's positive, and 39 out of I think it was 53 that got tested. So they're at a very high percentage again. It's probably one of their highest percentages. And I think that this is just a leftover for what they've been doing, which is, collecting samples from those who were symptomatic or possibly contacts of symptomatic. And yesterday, I guess, was a holiday in Japan, so they didn't really have any results. And then they just announced these results a couple hours ago with 39 positives. So they're up to 174 plus that one quarantine officer. And now they've got four cases that are in critical condition. They're in the ICU and or on oxygen. They didn't go into detail on how much oxygen.
This is from the ship.
Right. These are passengers off the ship. And, others are saying, you got them all cooped up there. They're under this stress. For the four that are in critical condition, three are in their 60s, one's in their 70s. They said, they got people in their 90s on the ship. There's, I think it's about 11 of them in their 90s, and another set that are in the 80s, and another set, a larger set that are in their 60s and 70s. So a lot of these are people that are retired, and they're kind of on this, cruise, and now they're stuck on this ship, and they keep seeing, people getting wheeled off the ship and going into the hospital, and saying that, you're going to be on for 14 days without anybody getting sick, and they know that that's not going to happen anytime soon. But then they heard that, as long as you're not a contact, you'll be able to get off, but everybody's going to get tested before they get off. So it seems that they're doing 3,700 tests anyway, and if they did it now, they would realize just how bad things are, because I don't think they're testing everybody that's symptomatic. Or if they're testing, there's a significant delay, and possibly by having 100 healthcare workers on board, that they're actually going to test everybody. But I haven't really seen the announcement that that's what they're doing. And I was kind of looking for that this morning, and this evening is this their morning, but unfortunately. They didn't have their internet connection. So the bottom line, though, is that I still don't have the breakdown of the 39. I know 10 are Japanese, which usually have the lion's share. But 10 is not that high out of 39. So there's 29 of other nationalities. I would assume that a good chunk of those 29 are American. So I would say there's probably at least another dozen Americans, which would bring it up to almost 40, and significantly more Americans on this ship than positive lab confirmed than there are in the United States at this time. So it is number one behind China. So the 174 are more cases than any other country other than China right now. And they're trying to figure out whether they have enough test kits and whether they're really going to test everybody. And you just know that there's hundreds of additional positives on there. That
maybe more.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The only question is whether it's going to be a three-digit or four-digit number as far as the positives are concerned. If they test the full, I guess it's only about 3,600, or it's almost 3,500 left.
Can you imagine being on that ship and being psychologically stressed like all those people are, and every day watching, or virtually every day, ambulances drive up? How many ambulances will be there today and taking off more infected? They have to know that ship is just crawling with viruses. They all know. They know.
Yeah. There's no way it isn't. And, they say they still haven't identified the source. And I still think it's a good chance that it's these trays and food that they bring in, because they're bringing something in.
You were the first to call that, Henry. You called it. We watched them. And I think you're right.
And I think there's still a good chance that's the source. But in any event, it's kind of an ongoing problem where they're only testing a very small percentage, and they're getting an increasingly high percentage of the ones they test are actually returning a positive result. So this one, 39 out of 53, I think that's the highest frequency, and that's a bad sign. That's an indication that it's getting easier and easier to identify who's sick, because If they got symptoms now, they've been on the ship long enough that they're probably not going to be getting influenza. There's not influenza floating around. And the only thing that's really floating around is this coronavirus. And some of the ones that are negative are probably just contacts. And they may not be staying negative. They may be negative today. But, they just haven't been infected long enough to get a detectable level yet. And so it's very possible that all the ones that get tested really are infected. They just haven't been infected long enough to register yet on the PCR test. So that's kind of what's going on the ship. And it's just kind of amazing that the whole world now knows that the ship is a problem and B is getting worse and C, there is just being totally mismanaged, where they're just guaranteeing that more people will get infected, more right. people will get critically ill, and I think it's pretty clear that more people are going to end up dying. And this is just not the proper facility, and especially if they don't know what the source is. The idea that they're going to leave 3,500 people on a ship that's loaded with virus and they don't know where the virus is other than in the people they take off, it's just a ridiculous situation. And they're just losing all their credibility.
I think the credibility is gone. Henry, it's obscene what's being done here.
They're saying, well, it's not a good situation and people aren't taking this seriously enough. That's what WHO is saying, that this is a serious problem and it doesn't really have the world's attention. And, this is probably one way to get it. It's have, a couple hundred people die on a ship while they watch, So it is just absurd. And the fact that, I think that with this level of personnel on there, that they will just test everybody and then be shocked at how many actually are positive with this virus, and finally get the ship unloaded. But that's kind of what that situation is. And then go on.
No, I'm appalled at the. Yeah.
I know, because it's a manageable situation. They've got the ship, they've got the people, and they've got the tests, and they can't seem to put all three of those together.
Or don't want to, and I don't want to go there necessarily.
No, I don't think that's the case. It's a lose-lose situation. There's no advantage to do what they're doing. They are making themselves look like morons that don't know what the hell they're doing and why should anybody listen to them. And they're doing this by the hour, that each day, literally each day, unless, they're on vacation, so they don't work that day. But each day that they're actually running tests, they come up with a new number. And what's going to happen is each day, they're going to have more that not only are sick, but are in critical condition. And then they're going to have more that are dying. And this is all because of their gross incompetence, and then it's going to get worse. And they're going to say, well, you should do A, B, and C. And nobody's going to listen to them. They're going to say, you guys don't know what you're doing. And you've tubing it day after day. And the latest bailout is they've now renamed the virus, and so it's.
I know.
Yeah, but you know why they've renamed the virus?
I'd call it misdirection, but what do you got?
It was being called in the scientific literature NSTIP for novel coronavirus infection pneumonia. So that was basically saying that the novel coronavirus is causing an infection that leads to pneumonia. And that And that basically represents what was found. I mean, the only reason this virus was identified was because they had a cluster of atypical pneumonias, just like they had with SARS. And they could look on x-ray of the lungs, and they could see this pattern that wasn't the typical kind of pneumonia. And that they could recognize it as being this atypical pneumonia, which is similar to what they saw with SARS. Mm-hmm. And they have this with this coronavirus, which is closely related to SARS. And so that description, you know, describes that condition. And the problem is that and that's what the case definition was. The case definition was that you had pneumonia. And it was diagnosed by x-ray or by CT scan, but that was part of the definition. And when they used that as a definition and did a calculation of a case fatality rate where, you know, case stands for it meeting the case definition, meaning it has pneumonia, then they got a double-digit number. You know, it was going to be above 10%, and they tried to cover up how bad it was by just assuming that everybody that's diagnosed would recover, and so they just divided the number dead by the number diagnosed as opposed to the number discharged, and then they knew that that was going to keep going up, that their 2% or 3% was going to go up to 5% or 8% and get into double digits, just like it did with SARS. They did the same thing with SARS. And they were going to get rescued from this fake number by these mild cases, and in particular, the asymptomatic cases. So they had an assay that was sensitive enough that they could pick up cases that not only didn't have pneumonia, they didn't even have symptoms. And a lot of these asymptomatic cases recover without developing symptoms. So the only reason they're picked up is not because somebody feels sick or not because somebody goes to the doctor, but because they're a contact of somebody that's tested positive. The problem is that doesn't meet their case definition. So somebody that's asymptomatic is not a case because they don't have pneumonia. And somebody that has a very mild case doesn't meet the case definition. So if they want to do a case fatality rate, they have to use people that have pneumonia, and then they don't get rescued. They end up with this big number that they've been lying about. And so they want to use the mild cases as a case. So they redid the case definition to basically get anybody that tested positive on the test as opposed to pneumonia. And then they renamed it. So the new name is just coronavirus disease. So if they say disease and they don't say pneumonia, and they changed the case definition so that it doesn't require pneumonia, then they could take all these people that aren't sick, although they are affected with the virus, they aren't sick, and they can use those to say, you know, it's not that bad. And, you know, in reality, there's some truth to that. I mean, what it's saying is just because you get infected with this virus doesn't mean that you're going to end up in the hospital and end up with pneumonia and end up on some type of life support. That a certain percentage of the people don't develop symptoms, and another percentage kind of get symptoms that really aren't a whole lot worse than a cold. You know, they might have a cough and they might have a little bit of a temperature, but they, especially if they get infected with a low dose of the virus, they can recover fairly quickly, because technically it is a cold virus. Coronaviruses have been known before SARS and before
it's a big family of viruses. Yes,
and the earlier versions were just produce cold symptoms, and people didn't develop pneumonia, and they didn't die from it. People don't, and they don't even have that high a temperature. I mean, if you have a cold, it's a little bit annoying and uncomfortable, but it's not like, oh, I'm going to end up in the hospital and pneumonia and on an ECMO machine.
Right. Okay.
They generally fight that off.
So, all right. We got to move on here. We got a lot of other things we want to get in. What do you want to do next?
Well, the other aspect of changing that definition is that China didn't want to change the definition. So what China is doing, this is important for the numbers that you get. So what China is doing is, remember I said that the suspect cases are already PCR confirmed, and they just have to go ahead and do a second test to get them into confirm?
Right.
Well, China's decided that PCR confirmed does not make a case.
I couldn't believe it.
And so if they don't have pneumonia, or if they're asymptomatic, they are not counting them. So they're taking the suspect ones that are PCR confirmed, and if they don't have pneumonia, they're saying they're not a case, and they're pulling them off. So their numbers aren't going up as much because they're not counting them. And so they're suspect. So the cases aren't the confirmed plus the suspect. They're the confirmed plus the suspect minus the milder cases, especially asymptomatic. I think they might be using asymptomatic. So for the first time over the weekend, when you added those two numbers up, they started to go down. So they would have like 5,000 of the suspect would be taken off, and only 3,000 of them would go on to a confirmed case, and the other 2,000 would just be mild cases that they're not counting. So when they say that things are slowing down, what's slowing down is the counting, not the infection. People are still getting infected, but they're not counting the milder ones. So the number is still going up. So the number today is up to 44,653. And the number that are dead is 1,113. And the discharges are 4,740. So the discharges are going up. And so now it's getting into it's still double digits, but it's, like 1,000 out of, a little over 5,000, so it's probably below 20%. It's around 18% or so, and it'll probably settle down around that. It'll probably settle down in the low teens or so is what it's probably going to settle at, which is still a very high case fatality rate for a large number of cases. And as a result of all of this, the emphasis is starting to shift a little bit away from China and more towards the outbreaks outside of China and how that's progressing. And that is still progressing right along. Just today.
Just for our listeners, Henry, hold on. When you see the stories about the virus is peaking in China, the numbers are now beginning to level off and begin to decline, it's all BS. It's not true. They're playing games with statistics, and as Henry just explained, they've basically redefined what a case is. Never mind they're PCR positive, they're still not a case in some cases.
And now they're kind of, I mean, there's several different groups that were kind of reporting out these in close to real time. And they're kind of merging them. So they used to do each province so you could see which province were the highest and where the deaths were starting to show up. And you could kind of see where there were problems. And now they're kind of merging all of the provinces together and they're just doing China. And so Hubei province is still head and shoulders above the rest of the country combined, actually. But they are breaking the individual provinces down, and so it's a little harder to see exactly what's going on in China. But there's a lot of concern for what's going on outside of China. And WHO is still saying that, China's got 99% of the cases. The cases outside of China are still manageable, and the world just has to take this outbreak a little bit more seriously. And just like it was controlled with SARS, they think this outbreak can be controlled. But there's, as I said yesterday, there's some evidence that it isn't being that well controlled, especially if you're just looking at the virus. And the virus is starting to spread kind of in this milder form. And the difference between the ones outside of China and the ones inside of China is probably just numbers. That once you get to a critical mass, I mean, right now you're just seeing the cases that are kind of coming out, and there are people that a lot of them are younger. Younger people generally do better. They might be in a little bit better health because they're ready to kind of get out of China and move around, as opposed to people that, basically are older or have underlying conditions and aren't as likely to be traveling as much. And so it's the older cases that are going to get into the more critical condition, not exclusively, but, there's going to be a higher frequency based on age. And so a lot of the initial cases that are coming out of China are younger. And then once it goes to a community transmission, then you start getting to an older population, and then you start getting to the more severe cases, because the sequences really aren't different. I mean, the sequences are coming out of China, and the sequences are coming out of the U.S. and the various countries that are getting initial cases. And there's really no difference on the sequence side. There's some heterogeneity there, and there's some lineages that are becoming a little bit more dominant. But they're doing that inside of China, and they're doing that outside of China. And so it's not really the sequence of the virus, but it's probably the concentration of the virus. So if you're in Hubei province, you might get infected by more than one person, and you might be infected by people that have a high level of virus because they're fairly sick, and therefore you'll start out with more virus. And so the quantity is going to start higher, and then you're going to have a higher likelihood of having a more severe disease. But on these lighter ones, these super spreaders, or these large clusters that keep on growing, are still appearing. Just today, there were two more confirmed in Germany, and that brings 16 in Germany, and they're all tied to that same auto plant store that basically started with a business associate from Shanghai. And they wanted to make a whole big deal out of the fact that, well, technically she wasn't asymptomatic when she was in the business meetings, because she was taking Tylenol and felt a little achy. And the report that was done, they interviewed the employees, and the employees said that, she didn't have any symptoms when she was in the meeting. And she really didn't, because she was taking Tylenol, and she had, and she didn't have the aches that she had before she took them. And she didn't really get a cough and something that was more overt until she left. So the employees all said she was fine. She didn't have any symptoms. And that's what they put in the paper. And then somebody went and interviewed her, and she said, well, I was a little achy, but I thought it was jet lag, and I had just flown in from Shanghai. I was tired. And I didn't really get the symptoms until I got on the plane and started heading back. And they said, well, if you were tired and you were a little achy, that's a symptom. So you were symptomatic. So even though you didn't really feel that symptomatic in the meeting and nobody saw any symptoms in the meeting, you were symptomatic. And they're drawing this fine line between, you know, what she was one day and what she was the next day and being real borderline-ish. But as it turns out, the progression of the virus from her infection of one person in the company that went to four people in the company, and now is up to 16 people in Germany, all of which are linked to the company. They're either employees or they're family members of employees. And, they didn't even give the details, but now it's up to 16, and the vast majority of those cases are asymptomatic. And so within the family, they're getting transmission asymptomatically, and the only reason they're identifying this progression of the virus is because they have a contact that was positive, and so they get tested, even though they're not symptomatic, and then they turn out they're positive. So there's like 16, I think it's 14 people in Germany and then two others. There was the one in Shanghai and one in the Canary Islands, which was another employee. And so the cluster's up to 16 now, and it's still ongoing. I mean, that was several weeks ago that started. And there were two new cases that were confirmed today. And that's an example of a cluster that keeps on growing because the virus is there. These people are hospitalized, but they're hospitalized more to control the spread of the virus than to treat the patients because they either don't have any symptoms or they have mild symptoms and a shy of pneumonia. So based on the WHO definition, these are cases and they're all going to recover. And they're going to help keep the case fatality rate down. But based upon, you know, is it in a viral-induced pneumonia, none of them really would fit the original case definition, but they'll fit in. And then...
What's happening today? We need to track the cases that we have so far in the U.S. What's the status? Nothing has been added to that tally lately. I think it's still 13. So where are we? People want to know about that.
Well, the latest case in the U.S. was the one in San Diego, which was someone that was being repatriated from Wuhan. And that sounds a little bit messy. I don't know if they've even given the gender. He or she... was, I think, at the Miramar Station, and then they...
Miramar Naval Air Station, right.
Right, which is, it's in San Diego, but it's quite a bit north of downtown, and the University of California San Diego Medical Center is down in Hillcrest, which is in, kind of near downtown San Diego. So they transported that person with three other people, and... I think initially the test was negative, and then they did a retest, and it was positive, but they weren't really, there was, you know, exposure issues on the transfer down and the transfer back, and so now they're looking at contacts to see if there's any onward transmission from that particular case, and that's one of the only cases that hasn't been sequenced yet. The sequence came from the second case in Chicago. And, if you remember, that first case was a mixed infection and kind of cloned itself out. So it's just the mutations are clean now, but the child was supposed to have had a fever and there hasn't been anything announced on that. So it's not clear if that led to more transmission. And then the two cases in San Benito in California, they got transferred, and there hasn't really been an update, but they were in more serious condition I think two have been discharged out of the 13. They're in right. the U.S. So the rest are still.
They're still in hospital, most of them. Not much resolution right. yet, so we're watching.
Right, and there haven't been new cases other than the San Diego one. And there was a big spurt in California, so California got up to, well, now they're up to seven. So there's been seven. So more than half of the cases inside the U.S. have been in. In California, there's been more U.S. cases on that ship. It was 25, not counting today. So my guess is it's 35 to 40 now on the ship. But where they're going to go and what they're and how many more? There's 400 on the ship that haven't been tested. So there may very well be a couple hundred Americans that are positive. And exactly how they're going to handle those is far from clear. And I think as far as actually testing and finding out how many there are, I think that's going to happen fairly soon. And then in Canada, Canada's up to seven now. I think there's four in British Columbia. Actually, there might be eight. I think there might be four in Ontario and four in British Columbia. The British Columbia, I think there's a cluster there of at least three. I think that's the largest cluster. The cluster in, I think there might be one cluster of two in Ontario. So North America, has 20-something cases with maybe two resolved. So the situation here is far from resolved, although the worst cases, I believe, are the two in San Benito. The concern, though, is, based on what happened with that super spreader that I described yesterday, there's a little bit more information. This is the one that started in Singapore and went to the ski resort in France. And it sounds like he went to a second meeting there, which had 75 people. And then one of the families he was skiing with included an MD. So one of the MDs got infected at the ski resort. And then the other MD got infected when he went to the doctor because he had heard that somebody at the meeting in Singapore had tested positive for the virus. So he went to the doctor.
Right.
And that doctor got infected, and there's somebody else at that clinic. And the take-home message of that whole scenario, I think he's got 11 and counting as far as how many contacts he has, is that those were generally mild cases and or asymptomatic cases. And the only reason you're hearing about them is because he had heard that there was a problem in Singapore, and he went to the doctor, and he was positive. And then they started testing all of his contacts, and that's where all the positives came from. So had he not heard about the Singapore case, he wouldn't have gone to the doctor, and none of these other cases that have been positive would have surfaced. And it's very likely that the same thing has happened in the U.S. That there are people here that are infected with the virus that aren't very sick or aren't sick at all. They haven't gone to a doctor and they haven't been tested. And that doesn't mean they're not transmitting the virus, because what's happening in Germany is that there's, the numbers keep on going up, and they're all related to that one company. And it's likely that this is repeated, and there's a lot of silent spread of the virus. And as I mentioned yesterday, that's kind of what happened with H1N1. By the time two people were identified, two children in Southern California, there were literally hundreds of cases in the United States at that time. And when they went and saw interviewed doctors after that in Southern California, did you see anybody with symptoms before these two were identified? They talked about how many people that came because their eyes were so red because they had basically conjunctivitis and they had infections. So as far as the confirmed cases, just that big increase in Northern California about a week ago. There really haven't been that many. It's just been the one in San Diego. But there are contacts that are being tested now. So it hasn't exploded yet here. It is exploding in Hong Kong and Singapore, and almost all the cases that are being reported there now are our local transmission. There, taxi drivers and limo drivers and people that service tourists and for store owners. And now it's in that Amoy Gardens type situation. There's a 35-story high rise. There have been three more confirmed in that building.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens overnight and keep watching. People are just holding their breath, waiting for it to break out somewhere else like it did in China. But so far...
Yeah, that cruise ship is going to break out, believe me. And it's going to break out in Singapore and Hong Kong right now.
Yeah, and Hong Kong is just smoldering, ready to boil over. Talk to you tomorrow, Henry. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, there's your update, and the rest of it is on the homepage at rents.com. Take a look. We'll be back tomorrow night. Take care, prepare, and be well.